It's an interesting paper on the future of national security strategy. And Sir David Oman is a former security intelligence coordinator at the Cabinet Office and a career civil servant who used to, and therefore as such, as a kind of key architect of the national security strategy as it exists now. And what he's saying is that all the information that resides about us in the numerous databases around the place now, mainly for benign purposes, whether it's when we go abroad, advanced passenger information that's logged on the government's e-borders network, or it's about other travel data, passport, biometric data, immigration, identity, border records, criminal records, other data such as financial and telephone and communication records, that all now adds up into an extremely useful and vital resource for the police and the national security services in terms of trying to track down terrorists and potential serious crime suspects. And he thinks it's very important that the police and security services understand that they can have access to this personal data, often sensitive personal data, and can use such new sophisticated sort of data mining techniques, data matching, they call it, whereby they can build up a profile of somebody and put together a whole profile of their movements, activities and associates based upon that data which currently resides in all these different databases. And what's interesting about it is that he's a quite a serious figure in the intelligence security world, and he's in a very candid way setting out the kind of scale of Whitehall's ambition for that what has been called and labelled as the database state.
And what does he say about safeguards to our privacy? Innocent people for the most part.
Well, he says in the past traditional police methods have been about seeking out evidence about a known suspect already justified by a reasonable suspicion of having a crime. But what this new data means is that they have to trawl through huge mounds of personal data which belong to the innocent as well as the guilty in order to be able to build up a picture of who is likely to be caught in the net, so to speak. And he's quite candid about that and open about that, about the privacy issues that involved. But he says it's better and to understand that some privacy is going to have to be compromised and sacrificed in order to maintain and keep up with the bad guys who are using this new technology in order to try and keep one step ahead. And it's better to do that, he argues, than compromising the rule of law or fundamental human rights. So he's thought about this quite a lot, and he thinks you can do it in a human rights and an ethical framework, if you like. It's what I call a Kenny Everett clause in this matter, which is you can propose to do some of the most nastiest, offensive things possible as long as you do it all in the best possible taste. So he's proposing the kind of safeguards that there must be. It must be proportionate to the seriousness of the crimes that are involved. So, no more of this local authorities using Reaper surveillance cameras in order to control fly tippers and people who are sending their kids to the wrong school. It's got to be serious. It's got to be proportionate. It's got to be about an integrity of motive, that the public are concerned that the intelligence authorities and the police are acting with integrity.